Talking some baseball as we kick off the second half of the season from MLB Network. The great Harold Reynolds joins us here. We appreciate his time on 97.3 The Fan. Harold, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
We are good, definitely good, despite the fact that the Padres kind of stumbled out of the gate in the second half. I know that you were one of the guys that was kind of on the Padre wagon a little bit at the All-Star break. Are you jumping off that quickly, or are you going to be all right and see if they maybe turn it back around?
Man, I heard my seatbelt go snap, snap, started to get loosened up. I got to keep the seatbelt going while the car is going, though. If they stop and keep slipping, I might have to hop out real quick.
Yeah.
No, I have the Padres. I think what they're doing is great. I'm hoping they'll make some moves here and continue to hang on. But, no, I was dead serious. I think they're a playoff team. I think they got a shot. You know, I know they're probably about, in their minds, maybe 2 years out, but I think they're knocking on the door real quick.
Harold, I want you to put your scouting hat on for a second. I think most of us here in San Diego knew Fernando Tatis Jr. was coming, but I don't think anybody anticipated that he would be coming at the level that he's come at. And put your scouting hat on for a sec. What do you see the ceiling? What do you see the comp being for him when he reaches that max potential?
Well, I think all you got to do is just look to his right every night, and
right.
And he's looking at Manny Machado. I mean,
wow.
That's what I saw when I started looking at him. Last year, he was at the Futures game, and when he was taking infield, that's the closest thing I've seen to Manny, you know, since Manny. And when Manny was in high school, I've been doing the draft now for 11 years. So my draft video on Manny, my breakdown was Alex Rodriguez, and he looked just like A-Rod in high school. So you're talking about three guys that are pretty good players, and I think Tatis is right in that. He's in that conversation. You know, he's not quite fully there yet, but I think at the end of the day, we're going to be talking about he's one of the great players that came around.
Yep, I think everybody's hoping you're right. Harold Reynolds is with us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Major League Baseball, second half of the season underway now, and trade deadline coming up. The Red Sox already went out and got Andrew Cashner, a former Padre. Harold, what other names do you see being moved at the deadline, or what are some of the players we should be keeping an eye on over the next few weeks here?
Well, I think this is going to be real interesting because there's only one trade deadline. You know, I always thought that was strange. Anyway, we have a trade deadline and somebody gets traded a day later, you know, but with the waiver rule and all that before. But now this is it. You know, you got to make your move. So here's what I think is going to be real interesting. One, you're going to see clearly pitchers like Trevor Bauer, and you're going to hear Bumgarner and maybe Greinke and different names like that that'll be out there because everybody wants to win it now. But you're also going to see some teams line up for next year or the year after and be able to make that move right now. That's going to line them up. So I think you're going to see guys getting ready not only for 19 but for 20 and 21 during this period of time. I mean, let's say the Indians decide to break this whole thing down. What are you going to do at shortstop with Lindor? You know, he's got 2 years left. And maybe somebody gets crazy and says, you know what, let's make our shot right now because we're not going to be in that mix next year for him. You know, so I just think that we might see some moves that we shake our heads at the end of the day on the 31st, but you got to look at it and go, well, they made that move for 2 years from now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You could
see
a lot of teams are doing that.
Start making their moves a couple years in advance. Let's bounce around the league a little bit. Last night, saw a really good game in the Dodgers and Red Sox. Watching this Red Sox team, they seem to be kind of a mystery to me. I can't quite put my finger on why they aren't. Now, it'd be a little bit insane to expect the same type of production they got last year because they were tremendous. But this team hasn't performed nowhere near that level this year. What do you see being the issue with the Red Sox? Why are they struggling so much this year?
Well, I think they got smarter than they actually are. You know, they decided they were going to have this whole, we'll push everybody back in spring training. And you look at Chris Sale, and he didn't pitch a meaning. Really, his first start was March 15th. And that's, you know, the season's getting ready to start in a week, and he's getting his first start of the spring. You know, and before you know it, he's playing behind the eight ball. And I think that's the example of this whole club. Seems like they've been pushing a ball uphill the whole season. And it's hard to play that way.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, you know, they the smartness of overthinking part on my mind is that, yes, they played deep into the World Series, and so they wanted to get smarter and give some guys some rest and stretch them out. At the end of the day, work is work.
Yeah,
you got to go to spring training and get ready for the next year. And if you run out of gas at the end, you figure it out. But to start behind the eight ball, that's a hard thing to do. And they play catch-up all year long with everybody else, and I think it's shown. That's why they've been so inconsistent.
How about on the other side of the field, the Dodgers, Harold? Do you see anything different to suggest that this year they can finish on top, or is baseball's playoffs so hard to predict just because of the nature of the short series?
Yeah, baseball's hard, man. I mean, look, they went game seven twice in a World Series and lost.
Right.
Or right there knocking on the door to two teams that were really good. So just to get to the World Series is difficult. I do like the fact that Kershaw looks like he's healthy and coming back. Ryu's better than he was last year. Their starting pitching's better. You know, last year they relied a lot on that bullpen to get them through. I think their starting pitching is going to take them deep. But also you're a year older with your players. You know, they're a year older with the lineup, and those guys understand it. Cody Bellinger's not near the same player he was last year. You know, so he's been able to figure it out. And, you know, just different things. I think they're a really good club. They're going to be tough to beat. They're going to run away with the West. They're going to continue to do this. But the playoffs are going to be tough because you run into that monster team that's set up just for postseason. Like, let's say the Nationals get in, and all of a sudden you face Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin, and they're all on their game. And bye-bye, you know? So that's the craziness of our game. And as bad as I talked about the Red Sox, what happens if they get in and they play hot for 3 weeks? You know, they could win it again. So that's the beauty of baseball. And marathon is one thing, but built for the short stretch. And the Dodgers, I think, are built for both, but I think this trade deadline is going to be huge for them because I still think they got some holes that can take it all the way to the end for them.
Yeah, that bullpen seemingly always pops up right around the playoff time. I wonder if they'll finally address it this year. And you know it's on their mind because, you know, reportedly they were in on Kimbrel before he ended up signing and going elsewhere. Let me ask you a little bit about this wild card race because – one of the most interesting things I found about the All-Star game was really the media day because you got to hear some candid thoughts from players around the league. There are some players who feel like there are teams that are just absolutely not trying. I think we can all identify them. No need to name them. But when you look at the wild card, at least in the National League, everybody other than the Miami Marlins are in this thing. This is good for baseball, I would assume. Why is it that the stigma still from some of the players' standpoint, that there are a lot of teams still out there trying to lose baseball games?
Well, I don't think anybody tries to lose. I mean, throw a ball 95 at somebody, see if they're trying to lose. You know?
Touche.
That'll end that real quick. So I think every player sits there and says, hey, I got a chance to win tonight and compete. But clearly there's some clubs that are better than others, that are more suited. I just said, some teams are going to set themselves up for 2 years from now and not about 19. That's just part of the process.
Right.
But I do think the wild card, with the two wild cards, changes everything. You ask those people up in Seattle if the wild card means anything after they haven't been in the playoffs since 2001. You know, it does.
Yeah.
And so I think what happens is you kind of play through the season and you wake up and you go, man, we're knocking on the door.
Yeah.
You start looking at the Angels all of a sudden, who are supposed to be out of this thing. They get hot. And next thing you know, they got a chance to finally get in the playoffs. They've only been there one time in Mike Trout's run. So maybe they're going to overturn some apple carts and see if they can get in. So we'll see. It's easy to say that early in the year, but when it gets down to the nitty-gritty where we're at, I think everybody starts to get that playoff taste and that bug, and you start to see them do some things. You know, you look at the trade the Pirates made last year to give up those two guys that are now all-star pitcher and a player in Meadows, and I can't remember the pitcher right now top of my head.
Glasnow?
Glasnow.
Yeah.
Now, you give those two guys up for Archer, and that was the Pirates saying, we got a chance, you know, and you give these guys up. So when you get down to that playoff run, you start getting that taste, you deviate from your plan. You sit in all those meetings. Guys, we're 2 years away. Don't make that move. And then all of a sudden, somebody walks in and goes, we got a shot. I want again. And the owner changes everything.
Yeah.
So that's what's fun about the second wild card. So I get why some people say some teams are not in it and some of the players believe that. But I've been around and I've watched it where it looks like there's no hope. And then that little glimmer and the owner goes in there and says, let's blow it up. Let's go. Let's make that move. And that happens.
Yeah, definitely seen it in the past. Harold Reynolds is with us from MLB Network. Harold, one more thing. Appreciate your time as always. Over the weekend, we had one combined no-hitter and one near combined perfect game. Is that what baseball's come to now, where we can maybe have almost have the first perfect game combined in the history of the league, because we have the openers now and so many strange things with the way managers handle pitching staffs?
Well, sadly, I think we're at that point, and I'm surprised we have not had more.
Yeah.
The Angels thing, will set that aside. That's just an amazing story itself. But Tony can tell you, you know, think about spring training, man. You see three or four different pitchers in one game, you're walking home shaking your head. That's where we're getting to. The challenge is you can't do it over 162 games. Right. The arms just don't hold up. So you may get lightning in a bottle every day and a day or so, but we watched the Brewers last year go through the playoffs like that.
Yeah,
and it's more of a playoff tournament baseball recipe than it is a Major League Baseball long season. The thing I worry about is, do you lose the matchup? You know, you look at the All-Star game, we were lined up for Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander to start. I'm like, yeah, I'm all in. Next thing you know, we're flipping the coin trying to figure out if Brad Hand might start the game.
Right.
You know, hold it, time out. You know? So those are the things that I hope we don't get away from. You still want those great marquee matchups that sell the game.
Yeah, I agree.
No,
I mean, I knew you would kind of feel that way, because we always talk to you about some of the old school baseball that they want to get away from. I'm not even going to ask you about what's going on in the Atlantic League. We'll save that for another visit.
Lord,
down the road.
Mercy.
Please, no kidding.
Yeah.
Hey, Harold, thanks so much for your time as always. We really appreciate it. Fun catching up with you, and look forward to chatting again a little later in the season.
Thank you, Harold.
All right, you got it. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you,
Harold.
Take care.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.